This is the Carlton Podcast. Here's your host, Tony Moclair.
Hello and welcome to the Carlton Podcast. It is episode 22. Well, what an exciting week it's been in the life of the Carlton Football Club, you'd have to say, Jammo.
No doubt.
You can give me more than that, can't you?
Well, actually,
come on, where's your SEN training? Where's your 3AW training?
To be honest, I wasn't listening to your opening statement.
Why not? There was gold in there. Gold, I tells you.
I'll just take your word for it.
All right. How have you been?
I've been really well, mate. Same old.
And we're going to get to a dissection of the Geelong game. But first, let me introduce our guest today. He is the son of a triple premiership medal-winning Carlton legend, you could say. And he's, I like to think, building his own legend here at the club. He kicked a goal with his first kick in AFL. He's currently injured, but he wears a storied number at this club. It is a great number, a number of Brett Ratton, former player, BNF in a premiership winning year, the number of Wayne Johnson, the Dominator. So it's no surprise it has ended up on the back of somebody for whom the club holds great hopes. He is Dylan Buckley. G'day, Dylan.
G'day, thank you for having me.
Dylan, you've been out of action for a bit. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well. Obviously been out of action for a little bit, but just after I broke the wrist, I came back and strained the hamstring. So a bit unlucky, but worse things have happened. So, yeah, just trying to finish off the year on a high and take it to pre-season next year.
Appropriate we've got Dylan this week. We've gone from a guest last week who's won 2 Brownlows, Premiership, Norm Smith Medal, 5 Best and Fairest. And now we've got a player in who acts like he's done all those things. So it's great to have you, Dil.
Thank you.
Shilling.
Thank you.
Well, look, I like the fact that you're...
You've got to fake it till you make it. That's what I say.
Thank you very much. Good idea. Attitude will take you everywhere, Dylan. So what have you been doing with yourself? Well, I mean, you know... Your downtime has been spent how? I mean, Jammo in the same position would have been hitting the books.
For the listeners, clearly you haven't spent much of the time in the gym.
That's a bit harsh, Jammo. Do you want to counter that, Bucks?
Well, obviously, this is a podcast. They can't see what's happening behind the camera. If they could see, they would notice that I have been in the gym, eating the steel. Yeah. And I'm probably in career best nick at the moment. Besides a hamstring, I do even get people in the street to stop looking at me, asking what I do, how I do it, what do I eat, those sort of things. But besides that, I've just been trying to tick over a bit of university as well. I'm studying at Victoria University, doing a bit of that.
What are you doing there?
I'm doing, it's called Bachelor of Applied Science. It's sort of just pretty much will lead me into a PE teaching degree. So,
yep.
Doing that sort of thing and, just hanging out with my dog and my friends, which has been good, and yeah.
Dill's got a lovely pug. What's her name? Lenny.
I have a French bulldog.
Oh, really?
Michael likes to call her a pug. It's actually a boy.
Yeah.
We have this joke where he does that a fair bit, and it doesn't get any funnier, but he actually is a proud owner of a cat. So, be the judge.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Enough said there, really.
Yeah.
One thing about it's French poodles, is it?
Yes.
French bulldog.
Okay.
Yes. Bulldog.
French poodle. A French bulldog.
Yes.
I was going to say poodles because you know the thing about poodles during World War II, Jammo, the US Army wanted to give them to soldiers whose job it was to detect mines because they're very intelligent dogs. And they were very good at hunting out mines. However, the soldiers objected because the dogs were simply too effeminate.
Yeah. Like a cat, would you say?
Well, probably not would as have been bad. Like working not as with bad. A cat. Yeah. Yeah. So
speaking of cats, we've just got Nick Graham walking into the room.
How are you, Nick? We'll get to you shortly.
Good.
Okay. Well, now we'll get down to business because it's a full show. Before we do go on, though, Dylan Buckley, how do you do what you do in the gym? What are your secrets?
Oh well, if I told you that, I wouldn't be able to tell you that actually. But no, we have a pretty scheduled gym regime. At the moment, obviously, I've been in rehab, so I'm doing a fair bit in the gym, and we have a weights coach here in Rex Livingston, who's been around the traps for a while. He's a master at his craft, and we work very hard together and got a great relationship. So, I've been working hard with him and doing all the muscular activities.
Great. We look forward to that paying off next year.
I'd like to hear more about the muscular activities. Deal.
Leave it there, I think.
All right. Thank you. Jammo, number one, let me say, I'm really impressed by the respect junior players, show you a senior member of the team and in the leadership group. I think that says a lot.
You're a leader.
Let's talk about Geelong.
There you go.
It was
learn something new every day.
See, you just hear it. You hear it in his voice. It was a great game. It was a great four quarter game. Geelong were dogged. Do you like that? The Cats were dogged.
Yeah, we'll move on.
Thanks. Yeah. Okay. We'll edit that one out. more importantly, though, it was a great four-quarter effort from Carlton, and all the talk has been how consistent Carlton have been. Yes, we didn't win, but we can put that down to a strange umpiring decision. You remember in the last Geelong game, it was a question of putting the whistle away, and this one, it was a question of taking the whistle out.
Yes, a little bit of a catastrophe late in the game. Catastrophe.
Oh, catastrophe, yes. Yes, nicely done. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Your thoughts, though, on the game, Jammer?
Fortunately slash unfortunately, probably much the same of the last 6 weeks. Mm. As you said, another great four-quarter effort, but we just didn't get the chocolate. So that's going to be the next step for this group, is turning those close, honourable losses into wins. And I don't think it's... I think it's a tough task. I think once we get one or two, then the belief certainly sets in, and I think we turn most of those close losses into wins. So it'd be nice to get some young blood back in the side, like Dylan and Cripsy, and Nick Holman's going really well in the twos, and Blaine Johnson's keeping his form up. So I think if we had three blokes on the bench at the end of the game, it could have been a different story, but that's football, as they say, Shillin.
That's what they say.
And we're a little bit... unlucky, I guess. You can't say you're unlucky in a game. Usually the best side wins, but I thought we were particularly unlucky on the weekend.
How was that playing with one man on the bench? I mean, what does that do to the team? What does that do to your coaching options?
Yeah, no, it's no doubt it's a huge impact on the game and the players. For guys like myself and Sammy and Levi Casbolt, we don't particularly notice it because we don't rotate much anyway. We don't waste rotations on us because... we don't run a hell of a lot while we're out there anyway, but yeah. There's no doubt that the mids would have been feeling that in the last 10 minutes. I think I haven't seen the numbers, probably had 30 rotations less than we normally do, and 90, we had 90, so 120. So what's the difference there, mate? Yep, so as I said, we had 30 less than we normally do, and that might not sound like a lot, but those 2 minutes that Murph, Judd, Gibbsy can usually get is a big difference, and still hasn't listened to a word we've said.
No, there's something on the phone. I think there's a new... What's that?
Like
weightlifting app? Is it something?
Sorry, no. I just got my Rising Star nomination invitation emailed to me, so I was just reading through
okay.
that.
Okay. We're really sorry to bother you in the middle of all of that, Dylan. If I can just ask you, though, it is a serious question. That everyone's talking now about how well everyone in the team is contributing. How hard will it be to get back into the team?
Yeah, no. Do you think? It definitely is. I think it shows in the last couple of months we've had... a lot of players come in that might not have thought they would have played, and he shows guys like Gussie Sheehan. So he's done a great role down back. Even the second tier players, like Nick Graham, coming in and just filling those gaps. It's good to have him in there just filling those gaps. So,
filling those gaps temporarily.
Someone's got to wear the vest still.
That's true. Someone has got to wear their subs vest. So that's what Nick's normally there for. And we thank him for that.
Yeah,
Jamo, can you just tell me something about Sheehan's kicking? Its precision is amazing for somebody who didn't grow up playing the game like yourself.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about it?
It's fantastic. It's not a fluke. It's the last time he came over, I think we spoke about it last week, he came 3 or 4 years ago with Zaki Tui, and wasn't the right time for him and went home, but... he took a couple of Sheehans with him and, by all reports, just hasn't had a football out of his hand for 3 years. And I can only comment on the time he's been at the club, but I haven't seen him with a footy out of his hand. He's always doing extras. And I'm sure in the next couple of weeks you get a chance to see his right foot, and it's quite spectacular for a guy who hasn't grown up. It's better than Dill's right foot, and Dill's right-footed. But it is.
I've actually spoken to Gussie, unlike Jamo, that he's just reading that off the notes. But I've actually spoken to Gus, and the real answer to that is he told me that he hasn't had the opportunity to form bad habits.
Ah.
So as a kid, you might
Except
notice.
For talking to you lately.
Notice the way maybe Jamo and Nick kick, they're a bit sloppy, sort of maybe dropping the ball. He's come into an AFL system, elite system, he's known. how to kick because he's taught right from the start.
Yeah.
So that's what he's put it down to.
I think Michael Jamieson is a lovely kick. Mm. I'm a big fan of your kicking, Jammo. Mm.
Thanks, mate. It's nice to get a compliment
the
in this room.
Technique and... yeah.
That's, I don't particularly like kicking. Yeah. If one of these young boys runs past me, then they get the handball every time. But
anyway. No, he is a good kick, Jammo.
Moving on.
Now, just moving back to the Geelong game, the AFL umpires coach Hayden Kennedy has conceded, let's say for the second time in a row in consecutive games against Geelong, that the contentious free kick that led to Alan Christensen's game-winning goal on Friday night's game basically admitted that it wasn't a great free kick. Your thoughts on it, Gemma?
My thoughts on it, there are a few aspects of it. Go.
Yeah, well, just Doherty was trying to defend, obviously. He was coming from behind. Anybody even orbiting in the orbiting International Space Station could have seen that he was trying to fairly contest the ball. What does that do for a defender? All you're doing is trying to punch the ball away and you get pinged for something like that. It just seemed like a bad decision, which it was.
Four interesting aspects, Tones. One, I thought the free kick was, best case, a flip of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
Two, and I know the umpires will say that they'll pay the same free kicks any stage of the game. I think usually the last 2 minutes of the close game, they put the whistle away, which I think is a fantastic thing. Three, one of the most senior AFL umpires who's been around the last 10 years was in the back 50 and decided to call play on. And marrying up with that, the last point was it was overruled by an umpire who was 80 metres away. So I thought it was, as I said earlier, a little bit unlucky. We certainly can't change it. We can feel hard done by, but that doesn't get us 4 points. But yeah, let's hope next year we're on the receiving end of a couple ourselves and we'll even things up like that.
Beautifully put. You see, that's why he's in the leadership group, because he's a diplomat as much as anything, Dylan Buckley.
That's true.
Yeah. Do you have designs on being in the leadership group
one day? Yeah, that's why I hang around Mick, just to learn off him. And
yeah,
obviously, great leader of the club. So,
what three key qualities do you think you'd bring to the leadership group?
Myself?
Yeah.
Wow. Put me on the spot.
Well, just considering, you know...
Dill refers to himself, I'll preface this with, Dill refers to himself as a future skipper.
Oh, really? So okay,
It is key for us to hear what he has to say.
Well, I don't think I've ever said that. I don't think I've ever said that.
You like playing this game. What are your three best qualities as a leader?
Best qualities as a leader? I think I get along with everyone in the team.
Mm.
I have good relationships with everyone at the club.
Yep.
So I feel like I'd have a tough conversation with players.
Yep.
I'd like to think in the future I'll have a good impact on games. Mm. So obviously you want to lead by the front and lead on the front foot, which is probably the most important thing, leading on the ground. And thirdly, I have great belief in the group. I think that we can take it to the next level, obviously, win finals, and we want to win a premiership. So
I just think that's fantastic, Dylan. A particular point I really liked was that you think you can have the tough conversations with any of your teammates, and I'd like to test that out right now and see what about Nick Graham you think is possibly his worst qualities and what he needs to get better at.
His worst qualities as a player or as a human being?
I'll leave that up to Dill, but just remember, we don't want to list all Nick's worst qualities because it is only
I think it'd be harder to find the good qualities.
All right, so what can Nick improve on, do you think?
Dylan Buckley, performance review.
Nick, I think you're a great player at a great level.
Thanks, Dylan.
What can you improve on at the moment? We're going pretty well. He's playing senior footy at the moment, so it's hard to... Oh, okay. Maybe your hair.
Wow.
Those blonde tips. Like, I had tips once, like in grade 6.
Yeah.
They were good. Don't get me wrong, they were cool. That was grade 6, though. Right. So
I really don't know where this tips business is coming from. This is all natural.
No,
it's
definitely not true.
We're wearing a beanie at the moment, so we can't actually see. Oh, there we go. Yeah,
That's definitely all natural. We're definitely all natural. Also, the fact, whenever he gets a ball playing in the seniors, he tries to have a look on the screen, if he's on the screen,
mm-hmm.
which I think can be, you know, better used in, obviously, decision-making and putting himself in front of the team instead of trying to watch himself.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it all I've got for the moment.
That was brutal and unflinching feedback.
And credit to him, he took it on board.
Yeah. No, he did.
Nothing come up about the green vest, that's all I'm happy about.
How are you feeling, Nick? You all right? Yeah, great. Okay.
There's only one thing you look better at that in than a green vest. Red vest.
Now, moving right along, Chris Yaron has earned another nomination for the AFL's Goal of the Year for a brilliant running goal in the third quarter on Friday night's game against Geelong. He gathered the ball on the wing and then, with a burst of speed, accelerated away from Geelong's Travis...
Varicose Veins. Who's in a rich vein of form.
Yes, he is. He's a magnificent spokesman for the club, can I just say, Chris Yaron. I saw two or three interviews with him during the week, and he's just he's fantastic. We need him on the podcast. You need to work your magic with him.
Well, next week's going to be last, so I'm going to leave it up to you who you want for your last guest for the year.
Yeah. I'm nominating Chris Yaron. I want Chris Yaron.
Okay.
Now, the Virgin Film Festival. Did you guys know about this? Do you know about this, Nick?
Yeah, I knew about this, yeah.
Okay, do you want to explain to us what it is then?
I can do that for you.
Thank you, Nick.
The 2014 Virgin Film Festival has officially kicked off.
Great.
This year's theme is Everything Possible, and the club entry focuses on our vice-captain, Carrots, Andrew Carazzo, who grew up barracking for the Blues. 10 teams are vying for the prize, including the prize of 30 business class tickets to LA. In order for Carlton to win, we need your vote. So can you please head to Virgin's website, www.virginaustralia.com/filmfestival. There you'll be able to watch our video and vote for Carrots. Through Facebook, you'll also be able to watch it as well, like it, comment on it, and share it with all your friends. And the voting structure works as follows. If you like it on Facebook, it counts as 3 points. If you make a comment about it, something like Go Blues, it's 5 points. And if you share it on Facebook, it's 10 points. So please, we beg you to jump on board and get voting.
Hopefully that kind of voting will be televised like the Brownlow, because that would be a pretty thrilling thing to watch. Norwich Rising Star, is that televised at all, Bucks?
Oh,
Norwich, I'm sure it was in 1990.
Oh, was it? No, well, okay. AFL, what's it called now again?
It's called the NAB.
NAB, thank you. I actually bank with them, so I'm not looking forward to my next credit card statement. Is it televised, though?
I'm not sure.
Okay, who are you going to take?
I'll take my mother, my father, and my girlfriend.
You won't take the dog?
No, I would if I could.
Yeah.
And then I'll take a junior coach as well.
Okay. So it's quite an entourage you got people. There.
Yeah.
Take a what? A junior coach.
Junior coach.
Right, okay. Have you got a speech? You've got to think positive here.
Oh, I'm back in Troy for the win, I reckon he's a chance. So. Yeah.
It's men's nominated too.
Yeah. Oh. Hopefully men's can be close to up there because he's hopefully, had a great year.
Hopefully Nick this week.
Yeah, as well. Nick Graham, another eligible candidate. Be great.
Less time looking at the screen, your chance.
Why the screen? The screen time, is that because do you do kind of a contra deal with the whoever's tipping your hair? Is it, you give me this free? Not that anybody in a football club would ever try to get anything for free from trading off their fame. But do you say, if you give me a great dye job, it will be on the big screen at the MCG?
Well, about that dye job, like I said, it's all natural, so I don't know where that business is coming from. But we have a bloke here that cuts most of the boys' hair, Chica.
Yeah. Chicones?
McLeod. Out at McLeod, so he does a great job. But I don't know where this looking at the big screen business is coming from. I don't really know where that's...
Serial offender.
That's from, Dill.
Okay. Hey, just back to the film festival, Carrots. Is he ready for his close-up? Is he ready to for the fame that will happen when this thing wins?
Well, I've heard there's a few scripts and things coming his way after the preview of this, so I'm not really sure what kind of career he wants to go down after footy, but I'm sure if you get on and have a look at it and comment and vote, then, yeah, he's a chance to take it out.
Gemma, why were you not considered the subject of a 3-hour biopic?
Still asking myself the same question, mate. I think this year's more of a preview, and they're just sort of getting the... exposure out there for Virgin, and then next year's going to be the real, really highly sought after prizes. So they'll probably bring me in for that.
Who do you think will play you in the?
We spoke about this last week, and I said because of the great tips, probably George Clooney.
Yeah.
If you want more, of pure acting ability, Gary Oldman's a real favourite of mine.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, he's a great character actor. Yeah. Nick Graham.
It would have to be someone with an extremely large head.
Vince Vaughn.
I'm really funny, so. Another box.
Yeah. Well, I'm back on. Well, definitely. Yep. Similar rigs, sloppy.
Yep. Next.
Great. Okay, we'll move on now. Port Adelaide, currently fifth on the ladder. We beat them for three quarters before. I think it was round one. And then they had a monstrous last quarter and walked away with the 4 points. How are we going to beat them this time? Because they have more to play for, arguably, than we do. What's the strategy, Gemma?
Yeah, and that's been the challenge for, you know, our last 5 or 6 weeks when we haven't been able to play finals. Coincidentally, we've keep running into teams that have, you know, technically got more to play for, or aiming for top four or top eight or things like that. And it's probably been a real question of how the group was going to respond to that, whether we drop off knowing that, you know, our finals were done and we were playing these teams who had, as I said, technically more to play for. But, you know, that's been a really promising aspect of the last, you know, month or so, that we've kept rising to the challenge and won a couple of good games and missed out just on a couple of others. So no doubt it's going to be another chance this week. Really looking forward to playing on Adelaide Oval, the new development. The crowds there all year have been fantastic. So it'll be hostile. No doubt we need to get off to a good start and try and... You're looking at me with a funny smile on your face.
No, I'm not. I'm just watching Dylan Buckley go through his phone here. While a member of the leadership group is talking. And again, sending that positive message that he is ready for the captaincy. He's ready to for the burden of command by leading from the front, being on the front foot, all those things he mentioned.
Yep.
So you haven't played on that ground. It used to be a small ground. I mean, it was a small cricket ground at the Adelaide Oval. It's not any bigger, is it?
Cigar shape.
Right.
Whitehouse has been calling it all week. So really, probably the narrowest ground in the comp. A little bit extra length, but... Yep. Yeah, very narrow. So it's going to be harder for us to switch the ball, which we've done really well in, you know, the past month. So that'll be a challenge for us to make sure we get plenty of run and drive out of that back line without the width of the ground. So, again,
how's it compared to the SCG? Is it similar dimensions or is it smaller?
SCG is shorter.
Ah.
This is quite a long ground, but narrow. So the closest replica is probably Subiaco, so more of a ground like that. But it's clearly not the same, you know, volume in hole. But yeah, as I said, looking forward to getting over there, challenging ourselves against another top side. You know, they're still fifth. I know there's been a lot of talk about Portadelaide dropping off in the last couple of months, but to be still fifth on the ladder at this time of the year, you've got to be doing something right. So another huge challenge. We're going to have to look out for guys like Robbie Gray, who I noticed today is, I think, second in the Coaches Association votes with... The other top three players are Ablett, Fife, and maybe Pendlebury, who all aren't going to play for the next couple of weeks. So he's probably going to take out that award. He probably flies under the radar because he's in Adelaide, but we're going to have to send our best stopper to him, I would have thought.
So who do you think will get him?
If he's around the ball, I wouldn't be surprised if Andrew Kratzo gets him after keeping Joel Selwood to 4 possessions in the second half.
Did an amazing job.
Terrific job. And if he's up forward... I dare say Zach Tui.
Okay.
Yeah, a defender who likes to defend, unlike some of the other defenders that were running around there early in the year.
Nick Graham, you'll be playing?
Hope so.
Okay.
Fingers crossed.
And what do you see your role as being in Adelaide?
I've been playing kind of that half forward hit-up role lately, so just trying to put a bit of defensive pressure on and try and hit the scoreboard when I can as well. So it's been a good role for me to kind of learn this year and coming into the side and hopefully play my sixth game in a row this week. And, yeah, it's been good to get some consistent footy.
It must be a nice coincidence that the last 6 weeks have been probably the best of the year. And, Jamma, but I'll address this to you, Nick, because they were saying this on SEN recently, that even though, let's say, on paper, Carlton hasn't done as well as we did last year, the team is in a better position. Do you think that's a fair statement in terms of potential for next year?
I think over the last 6 weeks, the teams took a massive step forward to where we want to go defensively and things like that. The young guys are coming in and really starting to understand and play their role, and the older guys are really leading from the front, like Gemma and Murph, and Daisy's starting to hit his straps as well. So I think if we can finish off the next 2 weeks like we've played the last 4 or 5 weeks, and it'll hold us in good stead going into next year, yeah.
And with older players like Gemma, it's good that he will reach the end of the season without osteoporosis or early onset dementia.
Fingers crossed.
He's tapped with tap formica there. So I mean, is there any special care and attention you have to give Gemma do you look the other way when he notices a grey hair down there in the showers? Is it, do you have to give him a moment when he realises?
He's getting pretty old Gemma. His head's still very big, but you just got to be careful with the arthritis and things like that that start to set in with these old guys. We saw Scotto go down earlier this year. Gemma's not far away from him, so We'll put him on ice. Put him on ice over the preseason. He probably won't do much, but as long as he's up and firing for next year, then who really cares?
So to me, it's Dylan Buckley. It's a bit like, say, like a herd of lions, and it's the young, the next generation coming through that want to claim their place by taking down older members of the tribe. Do you have those sorts of designs on Jammer, or you're just working on being as brilliant as we know you are, and letting that brilliance just bloom next year? Is that the game plan for Dylan Buckley?
Oh, look, no, not for me personally. I think, you know, we want everyone to improve. Everyone wants everyone to improve. I just want to improve a little bit more so than everyone else. But no, look, Jammo's the big sergeant down there, and I'm happy to play behind him. He's a great leader, so I just want to obviously improve and play more consistent footy at the highest level next year, and hopefully, with a big pre-season, I can do so.
Jammo, Sammy Rowe's been a great success story this year. How much of that is due to yourself?
No, absolutely nothing. I would claim it if I could, Tone. You know that. He hasn't sought out any help, Sammy. It's been quite a seamless transition for a guy who's really only done the one pre-season in defence, which is quite a remarkable effort.
Wasn't a great pre-season, mind you.
There's no doubt it's the harder position to play on the ground as a key back. We all know that. I don't need to go into that much further. But no, it is. We get into Sammy because he's had a lot of publicity lately. But he's done terrifically well. But saying that, we need him to go to a next level next year. And, you know, really become an attacking, marking, tough defender, which he's pretty close to already.
You just mentioned, before we get to the quiz, you just mentioned Cripps. How's he tracking?
Cripps is going really well. I think he was once again in the top two in the VFL on the weekend. I think that's his probably second or third game back now, so he should be getting near the fitness that was required for AFL level. That was the only thing keeping him out. He's a player that could come back in, you know, straight away, but he just needed a little bit of fitness. I would have thought he'd get another look before the end of the year.
Awesome. That's great. All right, let's do the quiz then, and this is open to all three of you. Whoever has the answer just yells it out, basically. In a true gesture of leadership, Michael Jepson has absented himself. He's excused himself from the quiz. All right, so Dylan Buckley, Nick Graham, how well do you know your teammates? Here we go. Here's the first clue. As a youngster, I enjoyed a prosperous junior career, which included captaining South Australia in the under-18 Division 1 National Championships.
Bryce Gibbs.
Yeah, I think if you put South Australia in there...
Is that serious? That's so easy.
That is awful. I'm writing next time.
Yeah, right.
I've got everyone.
Who won that, though? I reckon I got that.
I'd have... Apart from that, the Madeline McClure, who oversees everything on this podcast, does a magnificent job week in and week out. It's the rare error in the dying moments that has cost us this podcast. Thank you, Matt. since making his debut for the Blues, he's kicked a total of 97 goals, joined Carlton's leadership group in 2007. The same year, he was awarded the club's first-year player award. His dad had a sterling career with the Glenelg Football Club, playing alongside Sticks for a number of seasons, and in June last year signed a new 5-year deal, which will keep McCartan to the end of 2019, and I would argue has never been in better touch. He's a magnificent form these last 6 weeks especially. Dylan Buckley, thank you so much for coming in. Good luck with the rehab.
Thank you.
And good luck over summer, and we look forward to seeing more of that blazing number 7 Guernsey next year.
Thank you very much. No,
not
it's always,
literally
always
on
a pleasure.
Fire. That would set you back probably even more weeks than your wrist and that sort of stuff. I'm not wishing third-degree burns on you. I'm simply talking figuratively.
No, thank you. Thanks a lot.
Great. Nick Graham, thank you so much for coming in and contributing.
Thank you very much for having me.
Jammo, best of luck against Port Adelaide.
Thank you very much, Tony.
And we'll catch you next week. And great work getting Chris Judd, because that was your Kofi Annan moment.
I am sorry for the dramatic drop-off, but we'll try and get back up with Yaz next week.
It has been the Carlton Podcast. I'm Tony Moclair, co-hosting with Michael Jamieson. We will catch you next week.